141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge night of European action. Hearts are away at Victoria Pilsen, looking to move towards a place in the Europa League group stages. Kilmarnock also in action away to Copenhagen, a team who made the knockout stages of the Champions League last season. And yet another day of transfer speculation involving the likes of Kyogo, Matt O'Reilly and more. Two men who are going absolutely nowhere during the window because no one wants them. It's Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
It's a great time of the season for us to be on a Tuesday and a Thursday with European games. And it doesn't get any bigger for Hearts and Killy, because Hearts, Stephen Naismith, maybe coming in for a wee bit of early season pressure. Kilmarnock, Derek McInnes says, almost a once-in-a-lifetime chance to earn some serious money playing at this level. So huge evening for them ahead. And then they've got their league form to think of getting into the weekend. And then, like you said, speculation. Matt O'Reilly, still a Celtic player. But could it be Kyogo that actually goes to the Premier League before him?
I'm looking forward to the European night, Hearts and Kilmarnock, as Mark quite rightly said. A little bit of pressure on Stephen Naismith, got to really get a result over the next coming days. That exit to Falkirk in the Cup didn't certainly help him. And then obviously the big weekend ahead, a lot of good games, and the transfer market is starting to heat up.
It is indeed, and it's 0141 951 1025 if you'd like to get in touch, and please do. We'll keep you up to speed on what's happening between those games, both of them kicking off at the same time. Hearts over taking on Victoria Pilsen in the Czech Republic, and as we said on paper, a tough looking task for Killy away to FC Copenhagen. So we'll see what happens there. If you want involved, any fans that haven't travelled and want to shout at us rather than shout at the telly or whatever it is, then do so. Transfer window, I say it every day. Every day it's on the minds of people, whether that is Kyogo or Matt O'Reilly. I can see Celtic being linked with players coming in the way. Various rumours now seem to be doing the rounds since last night. And if there's anything else that you want to share with us, it's 0141 951 1025. So get your calls in nice and early if you can. Of course, we'll give away the tickets to Air Races a bit later on as well. All the usual fun of the fair with Beat the Pundit. And you never quite know what these two are going to produce when they get in the same room together. So we'll see how it goes between now and 8 o'clock. But we do need and want your calls. So right now, if you can, 0141 951 1025. Huge task for both, I think, on paper. Clearly, you just lean towards Hearts finishing third in our league, and Victoria Pilsen aren't as good as Copenhagen, if that's the right way to look at it. I don't know if things ever work out that simply.
Yeah, I think it'll be difficult for both teams. Copenhagen are a little step above. But Kilmarnock have showed that they can go away from home, well organised under Derek, keep themselves in the tie. It's the same with Naismith. Keep themselves in the tie and see what happens in the next week, next Thursday. But it's a big night for both of them, Gordon. Kilmarnock's done terrifically well to get there. Hearts, as I say, have gotten into this game, put themselves under a little bit of pressure with the exit to Falkirk. No credit to Falkirk, thought they were brilliant. And then they look forward to the weekend, but all eyes will be in both of them tonight, and I'm sure Kilmarnock supporters and Hearts supporters got their fingers crossed for good results.
And I think for Hearts, selection was always going to be key for Stephen Naismith. He's come under a wee bit of criticism for his selection and his chopping and changing in recent weeks, but probably with a view to this European campaign kicking off. And, you know, those that you would expect to play have started, maybe went a wee bit more defensive-minded. Five recognised defenders in there tonight to try and shut up shop because it's away from home. But, you know, Shanklin's back and Vargas is back. And our favourite, Taylor's playing the right wing back area. But Danda and Spittle not involved, those more creative ones. So he's obviously looking to keep it tight early on. That's the obvious way you would go about it. But he's certainly got players of quality there that can score him goals. And for Kilmarnock, I never thought Derek would go as open as he did last week, because he went with two wingers, didn't he, last week? And he got his rewards early in the game for it. But I think against Copenhagen, maybe a wee bit more defensive, because they're going to be up against it at times.
Well, I thought, Gordon, we had a big decision made by Stephen Naismith that we would debate when I saw that Craig Gordon is in goal and not Xander Clark for a big European game. However, having scoured the substitutes, there is no Xander Clark there either. And I think he's got a back problem. So Craig Gordon has played in big stages many times before. And it's just an injury one. It's a forced one. But other than that, you look at the team. Mark mentions Taylor, Kent, Kingsley, Rolls, Penrice. So defensive solidity is the hope there. Grant, Boateng, Devlin, Vargas and Lawrence Shankland.
I think Mark's right. I think if you look at that defensively, it's not bad at all, Gordon. They will be tested tonight. But when you've got guys like Shankland, Vargas up front's a threat as well. You can always sneak that goal, that important goal, away from home. But they will need to be really tight from the back. And got Craig Gordon getting in there, it's not a problem. He's played in massive games before. Great experience, terrific goalkeeper. Yes, Xander Clark is the number one. But Craig Gordon is not a bad deputy to him. So we wish Hearts and Kilmarnock all the very best.
And as for Kelly, the goalkeeping area is one of interest for them. I wonder, I assume Robbie McCrory does still have a... Was it a groin issue he had? Because he's in the bench again. O'Hara continues in goals like he did at Motherwell. He didn't look that assured at Fir Park at the weekend, and he stayed in. So I wonder if there is an issue with McCrory. New signing Jack Burrows goes straight in. It's kind of familiar. Lewis Mayo, Joe Wright, Stuart Finlay, that back line. Brad Lyons, David Watson, Liam Donnelly, Matty Kennedy, and that usual front two, Kyle Vassell and Marley Watkins. Is it about survival, particularly for Kilmarnock trying to... I mean, Copenhagen is a weird bunch to try and assess. They got to the last 16 of the Champions League last season. They came out of a group with Man United in it. It took Man City to knock them out, but they only finished third in the Danish League and only scraped through on penalties to meet Kilmarnock here. Is it still that next level, a really difficult opponent where Kilmarnock needs to just hang in?
Oh, without doubt. I mean, if you're getting a team that's dropped out of the Champions League last year, regardless of how their league form is, if they've kept the same core of players, then of course they're going to be good. Now, again, their form's been indifferent, but it will be one of the biggest tests Kilmarnock have faced in European competition. Like, they've come up against Celtic, who play at that level. And last season, they pitted themselves well against Celtic and they made it difficult. It's going to have to be the same kind of performance tonight to keep Copenhagen out. And if you manage to minimise their chances and maybe come out of there with a narrow defeat at Rugby Park, you just never know.
Come on then, 01419511025. That is the number that you need. So give us a call right now. Let us know what's on your mind, even if it's not those two games. Of course, we're just interested in what happens. Kyogo's not left. Matt O'Reilly's not left. Are you feeling better about that, Celtic fans? What have you made of the recent developments there? A bit quieter today than it was yesterday on those reports, but nevertheless, sum up your feelings. Starting to get linked with players in the way. I see Polish midfielder Matthias Bogutz from LAFC in the MLS. Is that a player that you're interested in? Is it one that you think could come in and do a job if you've been doing your research? Mikey Johnson to Burnley, players out the way. Is it right that he moves on? Is it time for that? Or are there any Celtic fans out there who still think that he could stay and do a job, given how well he did on loan at West Brom last season? Rangers fans, what are you thinking? All the social media rumour and suggestion is that maybe a move back to Ibrox is looking a bit more likely. Still to be confirmed, the venue for the Dundee game in the League Cup. So does that make you a bit more optimistic, or are you still fearing the worst? Still 1419511025. How devastated will you be if Kyogo goes to City? You like to cling on to that as being, you know, former City striker. This guy's going to come in and steal your thunder.
I'll be delighted for him, because I think you've got to be an exceptional centre forward to play with City. They don't sign many duds. And I tell you what, it would be, what a signing that would be.
When you say they don't sign many duds, well, yeah, admit one. They do sign duds. and you're right up there in the dud list. One thing for sure, Kyogo won't be caught with a chippy the night before a game. That's for sure.
I could show him round the good sights of Manchester, look after him. But
be surprised when you saw that story yesterday.
I thought it was a sort of a hoax, Gordon. I've got to be truthfully honest. I'm sure
Hoax.
That'd be the worst hoax ever.
What a prankster.
Yeah, I'm sure every Celtic fan was hoping it, well, it wasn't true.
When was the last time you used the word hoax? Apart from just
2 minutes ago.
Why did that come in your head?
I've got a range of new words for the season. I'm just blending them.
Blending isn't one of them then.
No, blending is not one of them. But look, If it came off for a lad, I'm sure everybody at Celtic would be very disappointed. Of course it would, because he's a top quality striker. But for Manchester City, with the players round about, look, he's not going to be number one striker, we know that. But if he gets the opportunity with the quality round about him, making those passes for the timing of his runs and everything, I think he could do very, very well at City. I really do.
Let's go to the phones. 01419511025. We'd love as many of you to join in as possible. Brian is going to lead the way tonight. Take it away, Brian.
Well, good evening, guys. We're getting, as I say to you right at the beginning of this, we're getting to the silly season, and then is there any context to it? Aye, of course. I mean, why wouldn't a great Celtic player be? You know, like bringing the attention, they're all saying the new best team in the world, you know, or potentially one of them. My point is this: everything that we do at Celtic Park, and the board, who are much maligned on one side and lauded on the other, and this show is a bit of a focus on that, it's been quite interesting listening to the left and the right. But everything that's been done has left us at a level. And at a level where you really can't grumble too much, you know what I mean? And it feels a wee bit bad grumbling. But my grumble is this. Okay, Kyogo is a star performer for Celtic. He's not going to be the same performer, star performer down there. Will he be? Will that affect him? I don't know. I don't think so, because he's Japanese, and Japanese people, when you buy Japanese, you buy discipline into the building. Matt O'Reilly, have we replaced Matt O'Reilly if he goes with Bernardo? No, because he didn't replace the Kenny Dalglishes, the other individual talents, Henrik Larsson. You don't replace. What you do is you find your system, you find the right player to work back into that system. Brendan Rodgers has proven that with, and some are saying, a weakened team, I think we're a stronger team regardless of what happens, because of the way that the football has been played pre-season and in the interim, in the beginning of the season. So if you allow Brendan Rodgers the tools and you give him the money, that at the right time, these deals, and we did speak about this a few weeks ago, guys, that you know, these deals, everybody can spend everybody else's money so simply, but these deals won't happen instantly. It's all about that knock-on effect from that team gets sold to that one, to this, to that, and then he'll get the player he wants. I just feel that we need to be honest with ourselves, and if Kyogo goes, and O'Reilly goes, and Hatate goes, and nobody comes in, that's when we slaughter. We absolutely tell that, not Brendan Rodgers, the board's incompetence, but not until then. You can't make, because there is no fan representation within the process. Fans are guessing, like your pundits are guessing, like the media are guessing all the time. So until there is a process where the fans can work within that process, you know, we're all going to be doing what we're doing, and I call it the silly season because it gets silly, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Mark, I think one of the points Brian made there was about sort of Kyogo's desire and, you know, not being Man City's main striker. I don't think anyone is, but that I don't think anyone's suggesting he would be. Sorry, because of his age, that bit doesn't come into it the same, does it?
No.
Like, you know, this, if they meet Celtic's price, that's really the only stumbling block here. It's hard to imagine a stumbling block on Kyogo's part.
Yeah, without doubt. I mean, you're going to, Brian just said, probably one of the best teams in the world under the best coach arguably of all time. Why wouldn't you want to go and play in that environment? And this notion, I think Celtic fans need to get this out of their head, they're going to a club where they won't be the big star, or they do you actually think the majority of players think like that? They don't. they want to go and they want to develop as a footballer. They want to play at the highest level they can play at. And for Kyogo, that is here and now at Celtic. But if an offer of Man City comes up, who in their right mind would turn that down? So he wouldn't be the star, but he would go there and he would certainly contribute, no doubt about that. And it's the same for Matt O'Reilly. He's had a fantastic spell here in Scotland, did brilliantly for Celtic, and he's got a pocket full of medals. But of course he wants to excel. He wants to go to the next level. And it's not lack of ambition that we've heard in recent nights, going to a club like Brighton. It's actually more ambition, testing yourself against the best players week in, week out.
I mean, Brian's general point is, even if this does happen, there's no point in panicking now. Mm-hmm. You have to just wait and see who comes in, which I think is fair. It sounds like a sensible way of doing things, and we don't even know yet if these players leave. Suppose the problem for Celtic fans who are not as relaxed, or if that's the right word, as Brian, is just because you have the money to replace these players is just not easy. That's a credit to Celtic. They have scouted Kyogo, O'Reilly and Hatate so, so well that replacing them, even if you've got the money, might be tough.
I think it would be a disaster for all three. I don't think three
that's
of them
will
go.
It's hard to see that, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't think that'll happen. I think O'Reilly will go. Kyogo, well, we'll just have to wait and see. I think Manchester City will have a few on their radar, but obviously his name's popped up, and Matt's 100% right. If anybody get sort of a targeted with Pep Guardiola and Manchester City, you're going to go where your number one striker or not. There's no debating about that. He would certainly go.
That's what I mean. The debate is going to be the price.
Yeah.
So firstly, do City want him? Looks like they at least do up to a point. How much then? Because you're not probably in that O'Reilly bracket. He's older. He's 29. Mm. City have loads of money, but they're still not likely to just go daft and give like an, you know, a record breaking fee for him.
Yeah, but you just wonder, Celtic, will they work the same way as Matt O'Reilly? They knew his value. They sat there, they got bids in from him. Atalanta made two or three or even more, and they decided to decline every one of them. They knew what his value was. Brendan Rodgers said it's not the value of the league, it's the value of the player, and I totally agree with him. Kyogo's the exact same. Man City won't go and spend because they've got hundreds of millions of pounds to spend. They won't go and just overspend for him. But the big point is, and Brian makes a great, great point, I don't think Celtic will be left short, Gordon, right? But I think the hardest thing is these guys are top quality players.
Thank you to Brian. It's 01419511025. If you want to keep going with that, you can do. What about you, Rangers fans? Is it all about Ibrox again? Is it starting to look at when things will be satisfied there, that you can move back into your home? Let us know all your thoughts there, or transfer rumour, speculation, wish lists. It's up to you. Still 0-0 in the two games. Hearts have had a few let-offs. George Grant's cleared one off the line. Craig Gordon's made a big save. Pilsen have threatened from a free kick as well. So they are kind of up against it in these early stages, but no goals to tell you about. Similar story with Kilmarnock. He did say on paper you would expect them to have the tougher game, but we will see, and we will speak to you on the phones next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here on 01419511025. Give us a call. Love to hear from you. If you would rather tweet, you can do that as well at Clyde SSB. Although you were just saying during the break, you're thinking of a social media detox.
Yeah.
Or permanent. What's changed? Nah. This time last week, you're banging on about how you're up all night watching TikTok.
Telling us about
something you were watching during and now you're off.
I'm still going to stay on my TikTok because that's part of my life now.
Well, that sounds like the worst social media detox ever.
No, but I might go away from posting and keep my fans hungry.
Keep them hungry. You never want to hear that guy say that.
They'll forget about you.
What were you watching this week? What are you catching up?
I'm into everything now.
Speaking of which, I've got something you could watch. Just imagine this, right? Imagine you've got all the options in front of you. You've got everything that YouTube and TikTok and Netflix and Amazon Prime and your console telly's got to offer. This guy next to you has made a 20-minute long YouTube documentary of his own about his climb up Kilimanjaro. Would you watch that? How bored would you need to be to watch that?
I think that must be the most boring watch.
It's getting this big premier.
By the way, how did you get 20 minutes of the 15 the adverts?
You'll enjoy it. I tell you what, get the feet up, cup of tea tonight, put it on YouTube. I'll advertise it later on my socials or my Instagram. But you know what? But I can't believe Ronaldo stole my thunder. This was going to be my big YouTube video launch, and he's launched his own YouTube channels and all.
By the way,
he got a million followers in, was it 90 minutes or something?
By the way, we now know it comes out of both ends.
Wait to see this. Wait to see this.
I would like to see it.
Scottish Adventurers, I think it's called.
So basically,
you've actually named it.
Well, my son took on the project. Scottish Adventurers. What's up with that?
I can't.
What are you laughing at?
Scottish Adventurers. You and the good lady.
I think we need something catchy.
Embarrassing me.
Well, that was my son's name.
And you've just slaughtered
his son. Oh, I like your son's.
And he's watching this just now because I said I'm going to give it a mention if I have the chance, and you've just slaughtered it.
So he's changing
his career now.
I know.
In editing.
Let's move on. Jerry's in Hamilton. Sorry, Jerry. Take it away.
You've been running programmes all week about this Celtic player going here, this Celtic player going there. Mm-hmm. Even had one programme where it was going to go here, there, or there, given the choice, etc.
One of those choices was stay at Celtic, mind. Don't forget that.
But you dedicated, I'll say dedicated for want of a better term, 2 hours of your programme towards that. Mine is beat the pundit.
Celtic are a big deal, Jerry, aren't they, as you well know?
No, let me finish, please.
Sorry.
My boy, you answer me and then we'll ask your panel. I'm not concerned. I'm a happy Celtic fan. I am happy. What I'm laughing at is we had three or four players have genuinely left Celtic. There was no rumours about them, and there was no, they might go here, they might go there, they might do this, that, whatever else, because it wasn't a clickbait. What I believe yous are doing, they're doing clickbait. Like I've just done, I've phoned you, you phoned me back. That's the clickbait that I'm concerned, not concerned again, but that I'm using against you. I says, well, if we'd go, oh, he's left, no rumours about that, he's one of the interesting debating that. That's Jovanovic, he didn't debate that, although maybe old Hugh discovered that was a wee topic for him. Zegras, he left, no topic about that, no rumour, no nothing about that. Kwon, he's went to Hibs, I think it is, loan. Nothing about that before that or after that. But he's looking at these major players, these first team players that Celtic have got, and he's creating these programmes around it. Where are they going to go? Now, I'll question you, when Man City have got all the millions that they can throw at players to invite them to players, do you really think they're going to sign a player who has got a sustained injury in his shoulder that he's been running for 2 or 3 or 4 years now, when they can go and buy any player they want without an injury? Do you really think that's going to happen? They're going to say, let's go for the guy with the injury.
Yeah.
Let's go for, rather than let's go for all the other players with the similar talents, similar skills, similar age group that haven't got the injury that he's carrying. Do you think that's really viable?
Yeah, I mean, I was as surprised as anyone when we had the guy on last night. It's not like the story came from here. The story came from Man City's, The Athletic's Man City correspondent down the road, and we had him on explaining that he'd heard City were in the market for a striker of that like profile, someone who wasn't necessarily going to chap down the door and be the first choice. They seem to like Kyogo. He explained it last night, and you know, if Jerry missed it, he could catch the podcast about how that story came about. So it was a surprise to me as well. I didn't start it.
Look, I'm the same. I'm confused at who Jerry's annoyed at here. You're annoyed. We're not making up stories, Jerry. We are reacting to, like Gordon says, stories that are out there. And when you said we are targeting the top players, the top players are the top players and are of interest to other teams. There is actual bids.
Just a compliment, really, when you
for
think about
Matt O'Reilly. You know, we have to discuss that. That's what the show's about.
No, but that's the point I'm making. I said, now, I don't know what journalist skills you have got. I don't know what journalist skills. I've not looked at any of your journalist skills, if you have any, if you have
none. None for me, Daz. I'll save you looking.
That's your talents lie elsewhere. You're a football player in your day.
It was a what, Jerry?
Well, that's how you made your living. And I'm sure you made a decent living out of it. But what I'd like to think is the likes of Old Chew and maybe I don't know if your presenters get journalistic skills, I don't know. But you'd like to.
Are you talking about Gordon?
Presenter.
Gordon. See somewhere in there, Jerry, just to you, your earlier point, are you like wondering why leaving, you know, like 6 weeks ago, or Seagrass leaving, why that didn't get as much discussion on the show as Matt O'Reilly and Kyogo?
So you're saying as much. What I will say is any. That's what I'll say. There was no rumours. There was no. What I'm saying is now. Do you not find it strange? Because Colombo, we don't have to be Colombo. We don't have to be Tiger. But what I'm saying is there was never any rumours in your programmes. There was never any debates, even until they left. And even when they left, it was we predicted that, we done this, we done that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to be unfair to them, because I'm sure they're lovely, lovely boys, but who can...
Colombo and Tiger.
They're good guys as well.
They are good.
There is a slight element of who cares. I don't mean to be patronising. I can sit and try and explain why rumours surrounding Kyogo and Matt O'Reilly are more interesting than where Benjamin Seagrass went.
The difference is the Celtic fans were quite happy for them to leave.
And by the way, 14th of July, I was in Portugal somewhere when all left, yeah. So that's nothing to do with me.
And the Celtic fans aren't happy that these three star players could leave. I said earlier, I don't think they will. I think O'Reilly will go to Brighton. I think the money talks for that. Whether Kyogo, I think with Jerry, the only thing I will say about Jerry there is, and I thought about this earlier as well, would the fact that Kyogo's injury, well, sort of the shoulder, because we've heard Brendan Rodgers saying, look, this could be a 4-month thing if he goes and gets an operation, would that be enough to put Manchester City off? That's the question. And I think Jerry makes a good, good point about that, and I'm glad he's phoned
in. But it's the money coming in as well, because that's where the interest is. If it's £25 million plus for Matt O'Reilly, that's a big deal.
That can be seen as a good thing though for Celtic as well. It's not like that's a negative story.
But that's the model that Celtic have employed. That's the wear that as a badge of honour. And Celtic fans rub Rangers fans' noses in it. Look at our trading model, £1.5 million to £25 million plus. That's a big deal that has to be reinvested in the team. That's why it's discussed.
Yeah. Some good points well made, Jerry. That was nice to hear from you on 01419511025. Give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking at Clyde SSB on Twitter as well. Let me just check in on the results. Still goalless. It does seem to be like chance after chance for Victoria Pilsen, but maybe that is what you expect. You go away in Europe. If Hearts can stay in this tie, bring them back to Tynecastle. We all know what that can be. What can be like?
I think both teams, worst scenario, losing by one. I think you still give yourself a great opportunity at Rugby Park and Tynecastle. They're coming under a little bit of pressure, but I think both managers will now be looking, thinking, right, we'll get to the usual half time and then we'll regroup and see what happens after that. So as long as they don't lose a goal just before half time, but one goal deficit, I think both teams would be happy with that. If they could get a draw or even sneak something, it'd be brilliant. But as long as they keep themselves in these ties.
They're on a knife edge when you go away in Europe, especially the first leg, you know, because it's a fine balance of keeping it tight and taking that one goal that you lose and building on it and then capitulating and losing two or three quick ones. So it's much a mentality thing as well on the night.
Richard's on the line. How are you, Richard?
Not too bad, you?
Yeah, not bad. Right? Not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
I was just going to say, I'm not too bothered about who Celtic will sell because it's part of our model. If Kyogo goes, like we got him for, like, I think, 4.5 million, maybe sell him for 15. Matt O'Reilly, 1.5, sell him for 20 to 30. It's just part of what Celtic do. The thing that bothers me is I don't believe that we have got any kind of recruitment team to make replacements.
Right, so you think ultimately the fees would be good, but you're not confident that that gets transferred into, you know, similar quality replacements. I mean, I guess Celtic though did recruit Matt O'Reilly and Kyogo in the first place. I know that Kyogo probably had Ange Postecoglou's influence, but
the recruitment when Ange came in basically was Ange done it. If you look at the windows after that, they were terrible. So Ange brought in Maeda, Kyogo, Iwata. But he brought in players that he knew from the league that he'd played in. We don't have a recruitment team. If you look at the time it took to get Adam Eda in, to get Bernardo in, we've got 9 days left. And I understand that O'Reilly's not gone, Kyogo's not gone, Atati's not gone yet. But if they go, there's no chance Celtic are signing players to get close to them.
I think it's a wee bit unfair, and I'll tell you why. I know the points about how long it took for Eda and Bernardo to come into the club, but that's what Celtic's targets were. That was their number one targets. So they've got the deals done. Yes, it took a little bit longer. I'm sure Brendan Rodgers, I liked him in, but Brendan Rodgers knew exactly what was coming into the building. Look, transfers are not done yet. It will be interesting to see, sitting here in a couple of weeks' time, who is still at Celtic. And we always go back to it going, as a compliment to the team, it's a compliment in recruitment, it's a compliment to the players as well. But I am sure that Celtic will be sitting there and they'll have a plan B ready to move if these big players, because they can't get into the European campaign losing the quality of, say, Kyogo or Riley. I don't think Hatate will go. I don't think you can lose three. But money talks, as we've seen before. But Celtic, I don't think, will leave themselves that wide open.
I think Richard's got a legitimate concern there, because they don't need a plan B just now because the players are still in. But what is the plan A in terms of bringing players to the club? Now, I think the Eda and Bernardo situation is a different department. The players were already at Celtic. They were recruited. That's over to a chief exec's business to get the deal over the line. But who else is coming in? Schmeichel? Schmeichel came in, we heard it was through Brendan Rodgers. But who else is coming in? And left back and left side centre back are two glaring omissions from the transfer business so far. And you just wonder, what is the recruitment model? Who was head of recruitment? Did they not move on? Was it before the end of the season? Have they been replaced? Who's leading it? What direction they're going in? I think it is a bit of a concern when you see who's came through the door until this moment. Now, unless in this next week, four players come in and you go, well, they obviously did have things in place. I can't see that happening this week.
But why did you not take heart from the fact that they sold Owen Benjamin Segrist? That is the big question on everyone's lips.
You get Jerry on the phone.
Thank you to Richard 01419511025. Let me tell you about this. This will cheer you up. £290,000. That is the value of the call being made tomorrow, and you still have the chance to win it. It's the biggest prize ever on Cash Register. So here is how you enter. Text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website, and the lines close at 5pm on Friday. Don't miss out. So to win, answer your phone within the five rings, tell us the amount, £290,000, and it would be paid into your bank account straight after the call. We would never see you again, would we?
No.
Like literally never, not even for a split second.
No.
Gone.
No, yeah, we'd never hear from me again. Never mind see me.
Text YES to 61025.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. Can anyone who's watching the live stream please confirm whether or not they just caught Gordon DL stirring a limpet with a pen? That was absolutely disgusting. That's not even your pen. That's just been plucked from that. Anybody could have been picking their nose using that pen, and you've just dipped it in your limpet.
That pen's clean as a whistle.
How do you know?
Because I cleaned it.
With what?
A wipe.
That's disgusting.
I can't believe that.
What?
Have you even stirred it? Get it.
Go on, give it another stir, just to make sure it's all dissolved.
See if he'd have been just a wee bit quicker. There you go. Harvey D.
Disgusting.
I reckon that's the way he lives his life in the house. Don't do that. You're looking at him, you swear there, you idiot.
I'm so sorry, that was so childish. I just couldn't help that.
Why? Just burnt my neck with a pen. Honestly, I'm going to HR about him. Look at that big red mark on my neck.
I am so sorry. I don't even know why. That's just childish. I apologise for my behaviour.
You know what's bizarre about that?
Can't be burning.
Oh my! Not everyone's watching the live stream.
I know.
So for anyone who's watching on radio, is going to wonder what are you two screaming about?
Well, he stirred his limbs up with a pen. Then when I'm looking at you, he's burnt me in the neck. Quit. That's not even funny.
That'll wake you up.
Wake
me up.
I should get paid double for being stuck with you two in here. John, please bring some normality back to this.
Well, since we're talking about people being childish, I seen Todd Campbell posting on his thing, I think it was yesterday, like the support versus the congratulations. That's something a 15-year-old would hit me. I've been a big supporter of Todd Campbell for a long, long time. I backed him to get back into the team. I really hoped that he would, that maybe he could find a way to come back in. But he's posting things out now that a wee spotty teenager would come at me, and it's just getting embarrassing now.
Oh dear, I'm just still laughing at him. You're bombing him with that pen. Why did you do that?
But getting back to Todd Cantwell, obviously he's just trying to work his ticket out the club, and I think the sooner Todd Cantwell goes and finds a new club to go and apply his trade to, the better for everyone concerned. I think Todd Cantwell's a decent footballer. I think he's a decent talent.
Do you think this is always deliberate, John, or do you think people now look into it too much? Because I saw it as well. It was like a video he posted, and you're right, it was like, you know, I just wonder if we're looking for things. Maybe he's just posted that innocently of the Rangers fans, but are we digging too deep into some of the stuff that he posts?
I think it's an accumulation of things. He's always posting things, and it's just, I was one of the few people, even now, hoping that he could somehow get a way back into the team. And it's just when he was, it just caught me the wrong way, and it just seems as if something a teenager would post. It's like, next to him coming out with, "Oh, don't ignore me, ignoring you." You know what I mean? It's so childish. The guys, that's two clubs now. He's been banished to the B team. It's becoming behavioural at this point, and we'll betide whoever actually buys him. I think it was Cardiff City or something was supposed to be coming in for him. Honestly, I don't see much of a future the guy unless he starts growing up and becoming an adult.
It's just a whole new level of analysis on Scottish football, Mark, where you're analysing social media posts, trying to, you know, read into them. Again, for anyone who didn't see it, it was this video, and it was, it said the support, and it was an empty stand with one person sitting in it. The next sort of shot was the congratulations and lots of people, as if to say people are there for you and things are going well, and they're not, you know, when I had no idea if he does think that is a way to stick it to the Rangers fans, or I've got no idea if it's really meant in relation to that or not. I don't know, John, does do you have any strong thoughts on it?
Look, if I was a Rangers fan, of course I would have thoughts on it, and I would probably be annoyed at a player who's earning a lot of money, is you know, so interested in social media and his social media presence that he's maybe taking his eye off the ball a wee bit with his actual performance.
You know, though, isn't it? I mean, does
of
it
course
really...
it is. But we were mentioning Matt O'Reilly the other day, and I said he's been the perfect role model in terms of, you know, getting on with business on the pitch. You don't see that kind of social media footprint from him as much. And me and the side of the game are just now and trying to develop young players. You know, what do you want to promote, or what do you want your young players or young supporters to look up to? People who are craving attention through these platforms, or people who crave attention on the pitch through their performances. Of course you want the players to perform on the pitch, but he's always one to react quickly to social media. He came to this country, he got quickly involved in a spat with Chris Sutton that seems to roll on and roll on, and players just have to rise above that sort of thing. But he seems to embrace it. He seems to like that side of the game. And maybe that's partly led to where he is just now at Ibrox. You know, not doing a lot of anything, apart from being at the training ground, but still earning a lot of money.
What if no club does come in, John, before the end of this window? Do you see a way, any way, that there's a player there and you might as well try and use him?
The only thing I'm thinking about is Hadji and Cantwell are on combined round about, I think, $43,000. You can't have that amount of money sitting on the bench, but at the same time, can you have somebody that's doing these things online coming back into the team? Just that just completely destroys your credibility as a manager, I would think. For me,
maybe that's what I mean, though. You're saying posting these things online. I would take your point if he was posting, I hate Rangers, I don't want anything to do with Rangers, but some sort of cryptic bit about maybe feeling a bit low and fans not back. Is it that bad, I suppose, is what I'm trying to understand?
I think it's more like, from my side, I've always supported Todd Cantwell. I honestly thought he was an amazing player. I thought he could be the guy to take us the next level, especially the way he linked up play, the way he has a creative thing. You could see there's something in him, but he's flung the dummy so many times that if it's like the old saying, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, you know what I mean? You need to move on for this kind of thing. If you can't trust somebody to do things the right way, how can he come back in?
I don't think he can come back in. It'd be a long, long way for him. I do agree. Listen, I'm not really interested in what he posts and what he doesn't post. At the end of the day, if that's the way the boy wants to live his life, best of luck to him. I'm not going to get involved in that. I just think that he's got to look at his career. And if he can get out of Ibrox, then I think the club and him, they've got a big decision to make. Now, I've seen it before, Gordon, that someone so far out the picture, they've eaten their humble pie and they've come back in, put their hands up and said, look, I've called this wrong, but if you need me here, I'm going to be part of it. I'm going to give you 100%. I'm going to be a team player. I'm going to be what you want me to be. Todd Cantwell's a decent player. Let's not get away from that. He's a decent player. It's a long, long way back, but I've seen it a million times, and just something that happens could get him back in the fold.
Thank you to John, which takes us right up to time for this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to come on here, show off your superior football knowledge and win yourself a signed ball. 01419511025. Beat the Pundit's next and the lines close at 7. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. It's 01419511025. We'd encourage you, as always, to tweet as well at Clyde SSB. You can get in touch, let us know what you are thinking tonight. There was lots of discussion again around the likes of Kyogo and Matt O'Reilly. Another day, more speculation. I have learned that speculation is not everyone's favourite topic, but that's absolutely fine. Just before the break, talks about Todd Cantwell's social media usage as well. See the topics you cover on here. If you want to keep going on those themes, you can. If you want to move on, we'd welcome that as well. So if you've got something else for us, give us a call right now and we will speak to you after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. How's the form?
We're all right.
Okay.
Yeah, 100% for me so far.
How many percent?
100.
Oh, yeah. I think you've lost one, mate.
No, I played one. 1-1.
All right. I've played 2-1-3.
Marvin went for the 10 last night. Didn't get it, but he went for the 10. He got like 6 out of 6 or 7 out of 7.
Did he? That's not like him.
Questions must be easy on a Monday if he's cracking out 6.
I mean, it was Wednesday, but never mind.
Well, so is. That's just Thursday.
Doesn't really stand you in good stead for a quiz that we're about to take place, does it?
Doesn't it?
Anyway, Charles is on the line. How are you, Charles?
Yeah, I'm not so bad. How are you guys?
Good, thanks. Have you ever played before?
No.
Right. Who is out there, who is perceived as being the weaker out of these two Beat the Pundit players?
I'm going to have to say Gordon.
Yeah. Okay, what do you think? Check. What do you think, Gordon? Is that fair? Because I statistically, last season
I was poor last season.
Oh, no, in fact,
the season before that was dynamite. I had a very poor season.
Right.
I had a very poor Euros, I've got to say. Okay, I'm going to admit, I think just now Mark just
pipped you.
Pipped me.
Right, in. Heads it will be Mark Wilson, tails it will be Gordon DL, and it is heads. It's Mark again. So let's see. You've got the chance to go joint top of the table with Hugh tonight, apparently.
I'm a big game player.
How's that? Hugh's played about 3 or 4.
So this is him going on to 3?
2.
No, it's 100% record.
100%.
Oh, no.
I'm at the top. I just need to consolidate.
Give Mark something else to listen to. Don't mind what it is. Turn it up nice and loud, though, so that Charles and I can speak amongst ourselves. Charles, the time you have is 30 seconds. You are allowed to move on with a pass if you want and just see how many questions you get right, okay?
Yep.
30 seconds, going on the clock then, your time starts now. Who's got more Wales caps, Rabbi Matondo or Dylan Levitt?
Levitt.
Which Celtic player is currently on loan at Melbourne City?
The pass.
Danny Invincible had almost 200 appearances for which SPFL team?
Inverness.
How many current Scottish Premiership teams did Derek McInnes play for?
4.
Scott McTominay and Billy Gilmore are linked with which Italian club?
Atlanta.
What nationality is Celtic and Rangers linked Hannibal Mejbrieva? I don't know how to say his second name. That's bad for me. What nationality is he? Right, okay. You ready? What are you air pianoing at?
Oh, Elton John.
My favourite.
Remember I went to see him and he sat in a corner.
You did.
Where did you see him again? Airdrie?
No, I've seen him at the Hydro.
We've seen him at the Hydro.
I thought it was him. He came to Airdrie though,
didn't he? I was in the front row at the Airdrie. I was the Airdrie manager, but we went to see him at the Hydro. I was blown away. He was less impressed.
I just didn't like it at all. Never moved.
Looking at that screen when you were doing the old piano there, the RPA, you've got a bit of Elton about you, just the way you were sitting. Put on a dressing gown. Crocodile Rock.
Ah, that's a good one.
He'd be lucky if he got 400 steps in that night. In a concert, how does that work?
He's a pianist. What do you want him to do? Dancing?
Entertain.
Okay, right. Same set of questions to you, Mark. Right. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who's got more Wales caps, Rabbi Matondo or Dylan Levitt?
Levitt.
Which Celtic player is currently on loan at Melbourne City?
Pass.
Danny Invincible had 200 appearances for which SPFL team?
Kilmarnock.
How many current Scottish Premiership teams did Derek McInnes play for?
3.
Scott McTominay and Billy Gilmore are linked with which Italian club?
Napoli.
What nationality is Celtic and Rangers linked Hannibal Mebri?
We'll pass.
Oh, can I have a gay? Seriously?
Hannibal? What nationality? German.
Okay.
No, I would say Poland. Polish.
Would you?
Charles, how do you think it went?
You were sorry, mate?
How do you think it went?
Ah, terrible. Do you know what? Monday, Wednesday, I'd won it in the night. I've just
bought it.
I thought
those
were quite tough.
Before,
I thought they were quite tough, I have to say. Who's got more Wales caps, Rabbi Matondo or Dylan Levitt? It is Dylan Levitt. Yeah. You both got it right. Yeah, 13 to 12. The Celtic player on loan at Melbourne City,
I forget his
Marco
name.
Tilio.
Tilio. He was that. I am the same, Charles.
Yeah. Danny Invincible had almost 200 appearances for Kelly. Mark Wilson goes 2-1. In front. Let's count them up. Derek McInnes' teams that he played for, current Scottish Premiership teams.
St Johnstone Rangers.
St Johnstone, Dundee United, Rangers. I'm afraid. Charles, 3-1. to Mark Wilson.
Exactly, Charlie.
Scott McTominay and Billy Gilmore are linked with which Italian club? Is Napoli.
Charlie not got that either.
He did not, Mark. He's
right. Charlie's.
And I don't like linked questions, I have to say, because I mean, who says they're. I mean, Billy Gilmore, I think that's at least close. But this next one, what nationality Celtic and Rangers linked Hannibal Mabry? Is he
Polish?
I thought he was linked to Rangers at one point, but anyway.
Polish.
Tunisian.
Oh, that's quite near.
Yeah. Anyway.
What did Charlie say?
German as well, same as Mark.
Yeah, weirdly. Yeah. Oh, good.
4-1 to Mark Wilson. Hard lines, Charles. Hard lines.
Cheers anyway, guys.
Yeah, cheers anyway. That's a good way.
Taking that well, Charles. Well done. Mm-hmm. I like that.
On the bar, though.
Nah, that's not the way it works. Need to win. Need to win again.
Do you want the $290,000 as well?
No,
that we're giving away on Friday.
Just the bar.
Just the bar.
Got a few quid. He's not needing the money. But anyway.
Another resounding victory for me. It's getting too easy now.
I thought they were all right tonight as well.
You know, what would you have got? You were saying that guy was Polish, Hannibal.
Oh, just my last guess, everybody.
You said two for Derek McInnes. You said St Johnson and Rangers.
And Dundee United. Mm,
you didn't say Dundee United.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Curious Creatures has been on, giving you some
He actually, he's doing my head in like, wee Chris, we'll get rid of him.
He has.
We'll get rid of Curious.
He has channeled Jerry, the caller, who just wasn't happy with the show. Just thought we should talk about O and Sigrist more than Kyogo and O'Reilly. Not happy with speculation. Anyway, the poem says, your show is just all clickbait, sparking rumours left and right, trying to get some callers just to fill your show each night. The Dazzler's clearly had enough of people not being nice. He's coming off his socials and unfollowed Katie Price.
I'll never unfollow her, Katie.
Exactly, the wrong time to unfollow her. It's all happening in Price world.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Curious is good. You know, we'll never get rid of him. He's a faithful listener.
He's got you two
faithful contributor.
He's got you two figured out, I have to say. Right, goalless at the break. We're now starting the second halves. But goalless at both.
Take that.
Kilmarnock and Hearts.
You'd be happy with
away
that.
Away fixtures, yeah.
I know that just listening to you, Gordon, they've come on under a little bit of pressure. But getting 0-0, half time, job done first 45. It's all about making sure, especially first 10, 15 minutes away from home, second half, concentration, don't get everything in and away, keep the pressure on them. Because the home fans, you know, the home fans start to get a little bit restless. We've seen it here in Scotland. So it's no different abroad. So if they can just keep themselves in there, it'd be two terrific results.
Yeah, just shy of the 50 minute mark. Mark, and goalless in both.
For me, anyway, it's more impressive. Kilmarnock, I didn't expect him to go there and get an absolute hiding. But Copenhagen had a good outfit, like we discussed, just fresh out the Champions League last year. So thought they might be up against it. But well done, Derek McInnes' side to back the last performance up, where they won 1-0 away from home with another decent 45 minutes. Confident. It'll be, you know, streaming through them into this second half. But you just don't want to lose one early. If you are going to lose one, it's obvious to say nearer the end of the game and you get out there with a 1-0 defeat, take it back to Rugby Park in Tynecastle. But if you lose one early, you just don't want the mentality switch and, you know, you end up losing a couple and you're out the tie before you know it.
Yeah, I agree. I think both managers will probably be happy. So let's hope for the best. Because they represent Scotland, so hopefully we can get them back to Kilmarnock, Rugby Park and Tynecastle and get two positive results, Mark. That's all I'm looking for tonight.
Well, we'll see. We'll keep you up to speed as those games progress towards the end. Like I say, about 40 minutes remaining in them. So hopefully, as the guys have said, we can get some positivity. Stuart is a Rangers fan. How are you, Stuart?
I'm okay, yes. Thanks, lad. Aye.
What are you thinking tonight?
Ian Hadji. Uh-huh. The reason he's not getting this game, I was talking to Collie when I was on the phone there. If he'll play one more game, his wages increase over $8,000, in fact, it's $10,000. That's why the Rangers are not playing him. So, why is he going to be left in the reserves just to play? And he's playing outstanding. And I've not even attempted to try and get rid of him so far. So, I just don't understand what this board is thinking of. There's just something. I mean, he's a great player, through a bad injury. He scored a hat trick just over a week ago. His third goal was a free kick. I mean, this guy said, but I mean, still Rangers must have the money to play him another games or whatever. There must be something. It's just, I just don't understand it.
See that.
This just quickly on that. So there is this rumour, and it keeps doing the rounds, that Yanis Hadji's salary goes up if he plays one more time, and that's why he's not played. I think the only thing directly Philippe Clement was asked was about, you know, him being allowed to leave on a free. And remember, he sort of shot that down. That was a couple of weeks ago at one of his press conferences. There is a link, or there was a link last night. We mentioned it. The team that's just sacked Neil Lennon reported to be interested in him. It feels like the longer this goes on, you can see why people are buying into that, if it is a rumour.
Right. See if that was the case. Surely the sensible thing for both parties, sit down, have a look at it and say, look, we're not going to honour that, because if you play another game, you get X amount. But the best way of selling you, and also benefits us, because I do agree, I think Hadji can bring something to Rangers just now, all day long, is to renegotiate that small that contract for a small amount of time and say, look, we're not going to give you that. We're going to forget that contract. We'll give you a couple of grand extra or whatever it may be, or it's a bonus, but it works for you being in the first team squad. It works for you probably playing in the first team. It works for us putting you out there and showing how good a player you are and what you're doing. Then we can get you out of the club if that's what you want to be. Surely for both parties, there's a way to resolve this, rather than turn around and say, well, if it is a trigger of a contract, and I don't know that for 100%, but you're just going to languish in the B team. That baffles me a little bit.
Maybe again, Mark, we're doing this with talking about Celtic earlier, players coming in, everyone saying it's just a bit of patience needed, the market's slow at the moment, you need a domino effect. Maybe Yanis Hadji will just leave before the end of this window, and none of this will really come into play.
Perhaps. It's a bit of a standoff, of course, at the minute, because I can totally see Hadji's point of view. He's got an agreement there. He's come back fit. He's come back for the Euros, probably ready to play. And it's Rangers' problem that they've given him a contract. If that is the case, that they aren't willing to honour. Now, if it comes to it and it comes end of the window and he's still sitting there, well, that's a different problem you've got then if you're Rangers. How do you manage your losses? So, for instance, say he's on 20 grand a week and his contract goes up by 10 grand if you play him. Well, you better having a player sitting doing nothing for 20 grand a week, or you better having a player who can contribute on 30 grand a week, if that is the case. That's one that the manager then has to discuss way upstairs. What's the point of having a player doing absolutely nothing on X amount of pounds when you could include him in your squad? You've already made that deal. So I don't blame the player one bit in this situation. I hate these situations with players, and Hadji's not the first to have it, but you hear other players that have got certain clauses, if they hit a certain amount and then you see them drop out the picture, I think it's unfair.
I'm agreeing with you, Mark. I'm not putting the blame on the player here. The player's done absolutely nothing wrong. But you're right, if the transfer window closes and you've got Hadji sitting there, who is he's an international player, a terrific footballer. There's no doubt in that. He's come back, he's ready to go. If you have not got that money to honour that contract, surely it's best for both parties to sit down and say, right, okay, we've got to January. If you're in the first team, you're in the squad, you're playing, there are bonuses there, you might not get the 10 grand, whatever it is, we're just throwing figures out there. But we're putting you in the shop one day, and it's going to be easier in January. But for Colin,
why would you trust anything else to renegotiate if you're Hadji?
Just let's put it back to Stuart. Is a lot of this picking up pace, Stuart? You want to see him back in the team. Is it because that area of the midfield's a bit of a problem for Rangers at the moment?
Yes, aye. But I think he'd be great along with Barron, the Aberdeen player. I think he'd be great. The tournament, I think he'd be really good. They're just some. I mean, I watched the footage. I mean, his free kick was absolutely brilliant. You could see he wants back in the team. Well, apparently his father wants him back in the team if we're going to sell him. But it's going to go. Yeah, what's going to happen? Rangers will just let that happen, and they won't be sold, and they'll sit there again for another year.
It's a shame to say, but you could make a case that whatever's happening in the B team is irrelevant. The gap is just it's too big, and I'm sure he is looking good in those games, as he should be. But again, same question to you two: is that why we're really having this discussion more than we might otherwise be? Because Rangers fans are looking at Tom Lawrence; they're not convinced that he can go in there. And by the way, even if they were convinced, you still need someone else, a so-called number 10. it now looks like maybe Rangers' best midfield actually is Barron, Sterling and Diamandé. So, you know, look, not even have Tom Lawrence in it, or Hadji or Cantwell.
There's only a matter of opinions, and I like Tom Lawrence. I think he brings quite a lot to the Rangers squad, but I think Hadji's more a creative player for me. I think somebody like Dessers would be crying out for a Hadji playing in the number 10 role and finding him with the runs and the passes and everything like that. I just think Hadji is a very, very good footballer. I know he's had these difficult times at Ibrox. He's went away, he's come back, he was in the Euros, he looks fit, he looks sharp, everything about him. I know the money side of it, and I totally take on board what Mark's saying. It's not the boy's fault. The contract, you're either going to honour it or you don't. But you've got to find a solution if this window closes, because there's no point whatsoever having a player of his talent sitting in the B team, because it does Rangers no good and it does the player no good.
I think the point I was going to make is, Dad's touching it there, he's a Romanian internationalist, right? And Rangers are crying out for creativity in the team. If Hadji wasn't at the club and they were offered him, a guy that's just came from the Euros, Romanian internationalist, a number 10, would they sign him at this moment in time if they had the finances? I'd probably argue.
Think so. Look, yeah,
well, he's better than Lawrence.
It's difficult. Because of where the bar is. On one hand, Yanis Hadji has had injuries, so you do sympathise with him. But he still has been there for quite a long time under quite a number of managers. Fine if there's a contractual thing here. I often wonder if we should always, and I'm not saying this is the case, I'm just asking the question, to always be on the lookout for these players that become a lot better when they're not in the team.
When Hadji played in the team, he was fit. I thought he played well. I thought he had good numbers. I thought he was creative as well.
Very rarely, he was never a proper mainstay of that Rangers team though, was he?
But that was under different managers, with different personnel ahead of him.
You can't deny he's got ability, right? If he can come into a team that suits the way he plays, he could become a different player.
Well, let's ask Jim, who's also a Rangers fan. What do you think, Jim?
Well, I'm listening to you there talking about it, and Mark Walsh's talking about Hadji. Does Hadji really, if he plays another game, if it's true, does he really warrant another 10 grand a week? Remember, he was at the Rangers team for the first time, for a long time, and he's never set the head on fire when he came back, or he's went out in loan or anything. And the comment that Mark Wilson made there, Rangers is not on his contract, that's nonsense.
When did I say that?
Just 5 minutes ago there, he says, when Hadji and Rangers, if Rangers can't honour that contract, he's better doing this, he's better doing that. Now, you're a Celtic man, Mark, and you've made my blood boil. Celtic's got a man sitting on the bench on 25 grand a week, and he's as much chance of getting a game as me.
Who's that?
Is it McCarthy or McCarter? What'd you call him?
Yeah, James McCarthy.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's all right what you said there, the statement. Rangers didn't owe Hadji nothing. Hadji got injured, and he's never set the head on fire, and all the time he's played there, and the clubs he's went out and loaned, he's never came up with the goods there either. I think, listening to you the last two or three nights, Rangers have lost their stadium and different things and different this and different that. I think he's better just sing the crawl on. And I've got another point for you, Mark. Can I ask you a question?
Well, hold on a minute. Wait, am I making your blood boil because I played for Celtic or because
I think there's a wee bit of both in there.
Because I was supportive of Rangers and Hadji to come to a compromise if that was the case with the contract, if it ran at, you know, the end of the transfer window, how could you resolve it? I never said about Rangers not honouring anything. I says I hate when it happens to players when they get these deals.
Yes, that's right, but you see when Hadji and Rangers and they didn't honour the deal, right? So we Hadji there to, and can I go to the other point I've got with you?
Aye, why not?
Right. I'm not talking through green glasses or blue glasses. I've listened for weeks now with Celtic's going to do this and going to do that. All Brendan Rodgers want is quality, quality, quality. They're going to sell a player for £25 million. Is that no good quality? Should they not be keeping him and trying to build, don't they have? but yous are desperate to sell him.
Would you not sell a player if, say you say, right, Rangers fans with your blue glasses, we'll leave the green ones down the side. Right, if somebody comes in for one of your players and out and offers £25 million, are you going to sell them or not sell them?
That's not the point I'm making.
What's the point you're making?
The point I'm making is, for the last 6 or 8 months, all we've heard from Brendan Rodgers is, well, we need more quality, no numbers, quality, quality, quality. But you've got a quality player. How are you going to replace that man? You only paid £1.5 million for him. Then you're going to sell me Fujikama or Wijikama to West Ham. That's the two best players. Where are they going to get the quality to come in and replace them? I think you should take a step back and listen to what you are saying some nights.
I think you're right
genuinely
about Mark,
lost.
Jim.
Like, and usually I think I can follow. I don't. Jim's a Rangers fan, but we should be urging Celtic to keep. I genuinely am lost.
A good point.
I just wish you would bum in with your pen again. That's my favourite part of the night.
I don't. I'm struggling, Jim. I must be honest. I'm struggling to keep up.
You want me to burn them again, Jim?
Well, I'll ask you, right? The statement was coming out of Celtic Park and Brendan Rodgers. He's wanting quality. So if he's going to sell a man for £25 million, would you know we better keep him as he's one of his quality signings and building the team round about him?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're just taking two like random different points and just smashing them together, whacking our own heads off it, and then seeing
Jim wants to whack my head off something.
What sticks? Matt Riley is very good for Celtic. He is quality. If a club comes along and pays £25 million, though, you cash in on that because that's what a player.
Jim knows the answer. If Jim watches Scottish football, he knows the answer to that. He knows Scottish clubs can't, you know, not back £25 million for players. So it's a nonsense point, really. Just. You know, players in Scotland come here, they do well, they get moved on. That's the end of it.
Been some night on here, eh? 01419511025. It's a good time to call, though. We'll get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here on 01419511025. It's the number that you need to get in touch. We'll give away the tickets to Air Races very soon indeed. I think you'll like that. It's been a good fun competition this week, so stay tuned and we'll try and see if we can help you be the winner. I think still goalless in both of those games, as far as I can gather. Robbie Dees, our pal from Munich, remember him? Kilmarnock's Robbie Dees. He's just come on for Joe Wright, so about 67 minutes gone in that one, still goalless. And as for Hearts as well, Craig Gordon's been busy. He's had a number of saves to make. 70 minutes there, still goalless.
Positive, really positive from both teams, especially if they've come under pressure all throughout the game to hold out that length of time. You just wonder, minds start getting tired at that point, and how do you get up the pitch? So crucial 20 minutes coming up for both.
I think both teams would have bitten your hand off just now to be 0-0. Yeah, they'll come under pressure, you'd expect that. They're away from home, they're against a couple of decent sides, but I think both managers will be quite happy just now.
It wasn't so long ago, just last season, November, Copenhagen put 4 past Man United at home in a 4-3, a 7-goal
right.
thriller. I mean, they backed it up, beat Galatasaray at home. Just struggling with the mighty Jambos at the moment.
Well, Kelly, yeah, even.
Oh, sorry, Kilmarnock, again,
Derek's shown that he knows how to set his team up to defend. And we saw it here in this country and against Celtic and against Rangers. Incredibly difficult to play. Now, they didn't start the season like that, but then their last European outing and then tonight is followed on from maybe last season, more that kind of performance where he needs his players to dig deep. And you know what? They have got a sting in the tail as well. They've got ball carriers on their side. They've got people that can make things happen. But I think if it ends 0-0, he'll be celebrating a bit like he was in the touchline last week at the end of the game. Did you see that video? That was brilliant. Very rarely do you see full coaching teams celebrate like that, because usually it's a bit muted than that. But you could see what it meant to the full bench when the final whistle went. It was good to see.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And as long as you can keep yourself in Europe, do you know something? It's a great break. I know sometimes it's a little bit Thursday, Sunday, but see, for supporters, It's absolutely fantastic, because if these games are still in the balance, Tynecastle will be packed out and Rugby Park will be nearly packed. There'll be a terrific crowd there as well. So it brings in so much revenue. It keeps the supporters on side. It keeps them happy, and it keeps the players, especially at this time of season, sharp.
Supporters will be skint going to Copenhagen. You've been there?
Mysteria, is it?
Oh, expensive. One of the most expensive places in Europe to have a good time.
Yeah, and had what, the Arctic Circle in the previous round as well. Yeah, it's fair play to these fans who are digging deep, because there is a lot of travelling to be done at this time of the year, and they come so thick and fast as well. You've only got a week to sort of book up and plan your next.
Incredible. They give up their holidays probably. Their families are probably sitting at home, kids asking when they get the next holiday, and they're using the old funds to buy tickets for Copenhagen, the Arctic Circle.
Yeah, good, hopefully they can hold on, both of them. Imagine, well, maybe we should set our sights a bit higher. Imagine nicking a winner. That would be incredible. Double change for Hearts. One of our boys that we've had a on-off relationship with, Gerald Taylor. He's off along with George Grant. Blair Spittle comes on. Oyugoke comes on as well. Those are the first changes for Hearts.
Is he a one-game wonder?
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to
we
fear
loved
that,
him.
I'm starting to fear that that's the case.
Yeah, we loved him. I wonder if he's still got his terrific long throw. I like that.
But until I see him again playing live on TV or in the flesh.
Did you not watch the Dundee game the following week?
I just saw wee bits of it, so
what
I didn't see
did
the
you
full.
See? The bit where he nearly got sent off, the bit where he scored an own goal.
I missed all that. I seen the opening stages where he came out the tunnel, and I thought
he set the
he's
bar too high early. He should have just bedded himself into his Hearts career. But we were talking about him so much.
You just go and put in a 6 out of 10 in your first
exactly.
week.
Exactly. Just build it up.
Don't put in a 9.
That's dangerous.
And then crash.
I did that start of my career, and I couldn't get at the rhythm. 6 out of 10s.
Never got to that.
Consistently.
7.
6 at best.
6 at best. That's what I was.
Don't forget, you can call. Still plenty of time. We'll give the tickets away to Air Races soon. 01419511025. It does feel like it's been a bit of a quieter day. Are there any other transfer rumours or speculation that are tickling your fancy? What about Kevin Nisbet to Aberdeen? Did you see that one?
Yeah, fun enough.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, I think, is Hibs also having a wee look? But Aberdeen, I think that'd be a good bit of business, Gordon. He's shown, especially with Hibs here, he can score goals. He's went down to Millwall. Maybe it's just not worked for him, the style of football, whatever it may be. But the one thing about him, if you give him chances, he'll stick the ball away. I think that'd be a good bit of business for Aberdeen if they could get his services.
It's just obviously not worked though at Millwall, Mark. You know, are you getting the same player, I suppose, as an environment in terms of it's a domestic league that suited him in the past? But Bojan Miovski's boots are big to fill.
Well, they certainly are. I think if Nisbet had the choice between Aberdeen and Hibs, I know he's got the Hibs connection, but Aberdeen seems to be a good place to be at the minute. They're cash rich. There's an opportunity, a space there for them, really. They need a goal scorer. So you would think it would be odds on to walk into that side. A new manager, a new feel about the city. Good time to join that club. And for Nisbet, like, I understand that. I went down from this league to the Championship and I found it incredibly difficult. Didn't adapt, and I was up here within a year. Again, some players are like that. Some players take to it like a duck to water. Nisbet obviously struggled, but we know what he can do here. And I think whoever signs him will be getting the same player that left, a real goal scorer, a real threat, and he'll be looking to kind of kick start or make inroads to that international stage again.
James is in Port Glasgow. How are you, James?
Good evening, guys. I've got two big quick points for you.
Go for it.
Brendan Rodgers says that we'll come out stronger at the end of the transfer window. So I would imagine he's not a Paul A. Rabbit, but several rabbits out the hat. Do you think that will happen? And my second wee point is, a week today we get the draw for the Champions League. What Celtic players do you think it won't make the squad for the Champions League?
Ooh, I think that's a really tough one until you see them all written down, you see the numbers, because remember you've got your, what is it, your A list and your list A, your list B. There's a homegrown sort of quota that has to be filled in there as well. I'll defend you two in that. I think it's hard to predict who won't being that entire squad.
I know Celtic have come in,
but rabbits out the hat, says James. He feels that's something Brendan Rodgers needs to do in the coming weeks.
They've come in for a bit of, is the word criticism fair? Because at the end of the day, they had two targets right away, the number one targets. They got them. They've signed a terrific goalkeeper in the eyes of everyone concerned with Celtic, and he's obviously looks a business. I would, if I was involved in Celtic, I would probably have to trust the board and Brendan Rodgers and the chief exec there to, you know, be on the ball just now. I think there will be business done, because I think Mark touched on it earlier. It's not just when you look at that centre forward there, if Kyogo goes or Matt Riley goes or whoever it may be. I think Celtic will need to look at centre half position, cover at left back. I think there's a lot of business to do in the transfer window, but I would be confident enough. And I know the arguments, well, it's been 12, 13 weeks or whatever, this business should be completed, but sometimes it takes a little bit more time. But I think Brendan Rodgers would be comfortable just now. But if he didn't have the players in by the time the window closes, I think then we're going to get a lot more phone calls from Celtic supporters that will be disappointed.
I think domestically, Daz is right that he looks at his team just now and it looks fine. But if one or two of them get injured in key positions, then they're stretched. But in the Champions League, certainly, you just wonder what the dynamic is behind the scenes. You know, you'd love to be a fly in the wall to hear some of these meetings between Michael Nicholson and Brendan Rodgers.
Ah,
and
penalty Copenhagen after a VAR check. Sorry,
they might go. Get out of there with one. But just to see what the level of conversation is, I think with the amount of times Brendan Rodgers has come out and said that they need strengthening and they need more quality, you've got to think that he's pushing, you know, the issue that they need players in. So who is stalling it? Who isn't doing their job? What department isn't getting the job done? So when James is saying Brendan Rodgers has to pull rabbits out the hat, he's kind of doing his bit just now, because he's got the team playing well. He's had the team playing well since day one in pre-season. He's backed it up with a start in the league, in the League Cup. So he's doing his job just now. It's someone else's department to get these players in. And I can't for one minute think that Brendan Rodgers hasn't sat down with people and gave a list or the key positions he needs. So maybe other departments have to act quicker.
James, we've had a few Celtic fans on though saying it's still, you know, it's over a week to go, just kind of relax, everything will be fine. You don't seem as sure.
Well, I find it hard to believe it. I mean, I look at it straight. If you've got A, B, and C picked out for Celtic, player A, player B, player C, you don't wait 12 weeks to get a contract with them. Mark, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. The A players, if they've got these three players lined up, should be in the door a long while ago. They've got the money. Are we going to get into the Champions League draw next week with Kasper Schmeichel as the only signing? It's strengthening the defence. Because we can't go with them and Carter Vickers and Scales and I'm trying to think of another boy that plays the right wing. I can't remember his name. Went out my head.
Alistair Johnson.
No. I'm trying to think. He plays beside Carter Vickers on the right.
Alistair Johnson?
No.
Scales.
Scales, Carter Vickers, and on the right, Carter Vickers is
Alistair Johnston,
Stephen Welsh, anyone?
But James, when you're saying I'm wrong, I'm saying the same point as you. I think Brendan Rodgers has identified people. I'm saying another department has to act quicker to get them in.
Kilmarnock had a goal down. Unfortunately, Copenhagen scored that penalty. Lots of people complaining about how harsh the award of the penalty was. So hopefully Kelly can either find a way back or get out with one and try and make a go of it. Back in Ayrshire next week. Thank you to James. It's that time of the night already. Been looking forward to this all this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're giving away tickets to the Virgin Bet Air Gold Cup at Ayr Racecourse Saturday 21st of September. You can buy your tickets at air-racecourse.co.uk. However, if you want to win, all you have to do is come on here and play V-N-A-R. You like that on Tuesday?
I loved it, yeah.
Better every time.
I'm going to give you three players who played in Scotland, and you've got to tell me which one of them scored nay goals. We've already given you different sort of categories, if you like, over the last couple of days, so we're going to mix it up here with some of our super scoreboard pundits.
Ooh.
Oh, which club is this at though, I wonder? Is this at any of their clubs? It can't be any of their clubs. Right, let's
see. What's the question?
I'm trying to see if you two are on this list.
I would say the answer's Hugh.
Yeah, he's no, never scored
no, he's
any.
He's not scoring. A Roger.
Right, so it's whilst at their Edinburgh clubs. There you go, so that makes sense. So your three pundits are Scott Allen,
mm-hmm.
Marvin Bartley, and Andy Halliday. So which one of them scored nae goals at their Edinburgh club? Give us a call right now, 01419511025. If you can tell us the right player, you'll be off to the Air Gold Cup on Saturday, the 21st of September. Lines close at the end of this break.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Okay, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here, and we're trying to give a prize away to someone out there. It's always popular when we do this, and the lines are still lighting up in front of me. So thank you very much for everyone phoning for VNAR. You can hang up the phone now and you can try again tomorrow, because we do have a contestant on the line. We're giving away tickets to the Virgin Bet Air Gold Cup. It's at Ayr Racecourse on Saturday, the 21st of September. Please buy your ticket so you don't miss out on air-racecourse.co.uk. But we're giving some away. We're giving you three players who played for one of the Edinburgh clubs, and they just happened to be Super Scoreboard pundits. You had to tell us which one of them, whilst at their Edinburgh club, scored nay goals. V-nay-r. Get it? Okay, brilliant. To these three players and Super Scoreboard pundits were Scott Allen, Marvin Bartley, and Andy Halliday. Kieran is in East Kilbride. How are you, Kieran?
How's it going, panel? You all right?
Not bad. Mm-hmm. Are you a fan of the races?
I'm a big fan on the weekends.
He's a fan of weekends, I think, is what he said. That's as good a reason as any. So it's going to be a good day out if we can get it right. At their Edinburgh club, which one of these Super Scoreboard pundits scored nay goals? Was it Scott Allen at Hibs, Marvin Bartley at Hibs, or Andy Halliday at Hearts?
It was Marvin Bartley.
It was the Dodgem. Absolutely none. Calls himself a Hibs legend. Not a single goal.
Might have been a midfield player and you can't score a
goal. Honestly, Andy Halliday got 9 at Hearts, Scott Allen got 8 at Hibs, but the Dodgem, absolutely 0. Just like on Beat the Pundit last season, 0.
How can you be a midfield player and not score a goal?
He was just busy running about, bashing people.
That's why we call him the Dodgem.
Game.
I know, they love him, that in that neck of the woods as well. Anyway, well done, Kieran. You are indeed correct. You're off to Ayr Racecourse on Saturday, the 21st of September. Sound good?
Yeah, it sounds perfect. Thanks very much, guys.
Good man. That was Kieran in East Kilbride. And don't forget, we'll play VNAR on the show tomorrow for the last time this week. Might get Hugh Keevans to deliver the nay in really enthusiastic fashion.
He'd be good.
I think he's got that in his locker.
Oh yeah, all day long. He'll be practicing the night. He'll be listening.
I'm just waiting on Marvin Bartley's salty message complaining
because
it's outing him for having never scored for
no
Hibs.
Goals. Was he in that cup final team, Marvin, that won the cup? Was he?
Did he come on or he? Yeah, he was definitely. You must. He ever sat next to him?
No, oh, he's gone about it all the time.
His medal on his neck. Never
incredible.
Seen it.
Absolutely incredible. But anyway, there we are. Still, lots of people calling in right now for the competition. Thank you. We do really appreciate it. You can hang up the phone now. I just don't want to waste your time. The competition is over. The lines are closed. But try back again, similar time tomorrow. Kilmarnock, as we head into the 88th, 89th minute, are a goal down. Is it at this point? Would you take that?
All day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said earlier in the show, I said just in 10 minutes into the games, both teams, great results, draw or sneak a goal. But as long as you keep yourself in the tie, you've got a good opportunity. 1-0. Kilmarnock will still fancy that at Robbie Park. It will be difficult. And Hearts so far, they're looking not bad.
Very, very nearly there for Hearts. 6 minutes of additional time. We're about 2 minutes into that. So if they can just hang on. Victoria Pilsen 0, Hearts 0. If you look at the list of teams over the last, I think it probably stretches back kind of 6-7 seasons. The only teams that have gone there and won in Europe, the list is outrageous. It's like Barca, Real Madrid, Inter and Bayern, something like that. It is genuinely a really tough place to go. So even for Hearts to come away with a draw would be good. And their manager, I noticed, did say that he was putting emphasis on winning this because he didn't feel his players would be prepared, if that's the right word, for the type of atmosphere that they'll face at Tynecastle next week.
They wouldn't be prepared for that. Yeah, and you're saying that they've played from what some of these top European sides. Well, Tynecastle's a hard place to go. But look, that's a fantastic result for Hearts if Stephen Naismith's team hang on. Best result they've had in a number of months now, you've got to say. I know they drew against Rangers in the opening day, but probably disappointed not to win that the way the game went. But you look at pre-season and you look at even before the end of the season, not a lot of victories in recent times for Hearts, but this will feel like a victory. You go away in Europe and you keep a clean sheet. Fantastic result and something to build on next week.
Sore one for Kelly because it looks like they were doing okay, Gordon. Mm-hmm. But I can see lots of Kelly fans moaning to me that it was a harsh penalty as well.
Yeah, it could be a sore one. The fact that coming my way, just losing a penalty kick that you didn't deserve to lose. I've not seen it, Gordon, so I can't really comment on it. But I still believe that 1-0 is not a disaster for Kilmarnock. And the way Derek sets up, especially at home, he likes to play wingers, he likes to get two up top, he likes to go attacking. They're a big team, they can be a danger at set plays. That tie is firmly in the balance.
Gives them a headache though for next week as well. I know it's a good result, but how do you then approach that game? Do you go with your wingers and play expansive football in the hope of getting something early, or do you go a bit at cagey, shut up shop and then hope to introduce somebody later on? That's what these European ties are about. A real test for a manager and his coaching team.
To manage it over the two legs.
Over the two legs.
To be fair, Hearts had a level of success in that last season, you remember. Was it Rosenborg? They did lose one of the legs, didn't they?
Yeah.
But won the other one by a greater margin. I think that's the way the scoring went. So I suppose year on year, just trying to give a bit more experience of that. Because this is what happens. Some of our teams will qualify. They go out. You don't... maybe
see them again for a couple of years.
Trying to build up that experience of European competition. I'm hanging on for the full time whistle. It can't be far away over there in the Czech Republic. Must be about 2 minutes left in that one. The Hearts fans that have made the trip over will be desperate for that. They'll be so nervous, Gordon, because to put this amount of hard work in, you really want to make sure you can bring it back level.
100%, they'll fancy themselves big time at Tynecastle, especially when you hear what the manager says. That doesn't fill you with confidence if you're coming over to play Hearts at Tynecastle, and probably a full Tynecastle atmosphere will be terrific. Naismith needed that result after the weekend, and it just shows you, I don't care who you're playing, if you play, especially at the start of the season, I know it's a squad game, but when you go to difficult venues, play your strongest team, you've got a better chance of winning or getting a draw.
Well, actually, though, I wonder if that's what put an extra edge on tonight. If you're going to make those changes at the weekend, it needs to work out in the game that you're resting them for. You know, if they lost 3-0 tonight and people say, oh, I'm really glad you made those changes at the weekend. So you'll never know exactly if that was why. Anyway, we'll never know. But you, from a sort of PR perspective as a manager, you need the next result to be a good one if you've rested players for it.
You've got to make it work, no doubt about that. And there's no doubt in my mind that's why he did it. I think he got caught up in this kind of European phase coming up for him, and he thought he had to rotate. And I think in these early stages, you could probably get away.
Oh, they've scored Victoria Pills in 95 minutes. That is sickener.
Cut that out.
That is a sickener. That is, seriously, you put all that 95 minutes on the clock.
Oh.
But do you know something? 1-0
as not a as sickener, good as 0-0.
I know. Oh,
takes on a different look though.
But listen, I'll be a hard journey home tonight. Of that there's no doubt. Disappointed. But you've got to take positives for me. I always believe you're away from home in European nights. Make sure you still can win it at home. And both teams so far are in that category for me.
You know what, that sounds silly though, but when Kelly were losing 1-0 and if Pilsen had scored a wee bit earlier and you go brilliant result, I don't know, it just stings a wee bit more when you're so close and you lose it. And sometimes you then start thinking everything's against us at the start of season.
Looks like 2-1-0 defeats for the Scottish clubs tonight. Sore one, but they'll have to try and overturn them at home in the coming weeks, and hopefully it all ends up a bit more positive than it did tonight. Thank you to Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel. Tomorrow, the eve of the next set of Premiership fixtures, tomorrow we will hear from Brendan Rodgers, we will hear from Philippe Clement and more. So it promises to be a good one tomorrow. I wonder what Hugh Keevans has on his mind after the end of this week. So tune in from 6. We will see you then, and enjoy the rest of your Thursday.